Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer just for a second, please. Father, we thank you for the beautiful, beautiful day that you gave us today. We thank you for your love. As I looked up and saw the sun shining, I couldn't help but think about your sun shining down on us, seeing us through this day. I pray that you'll be with Josh and those with him, that they might be having a time of rejoicing in the pastor's college graduation. We pray that you'll give them a safe time, that you return them to us, that we might continue to lift up and praise your name. We thank you for those that are here tonight. I pray that you'll speak to their hearts, as I hope you will speak through me, that it will land on hearts that are in need, and that you will make a difference in each of our lives tonight for having been in your house. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The last couple of Wednesdays, Josh has alluded to in his messages seasons of life. And after last Wednesday, I said to David, I said, I've been doing some Bible searching on the seasons of life. And that's what I had decided the Lord was wanting me to share with you tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. You don't have that one. You don't have that one. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun. And as I got to thinking about that, I realized that every aspect of our life, every aspect, think about that, every aspect of our life is like a season. There's a purpose for the seasons. Some of the seasons that we go through in life, we enjoy. But there's many seasons that we go through in life that we just as soon had not come. But it's through the seasons of life that God teaches us some very important lessons that probably we would not have learned had it not been for them. The problem with seasons is when you're... How many of you ever gone through a rough season in life? Anybody? Okay. Anybody going through a rough season in life right now? All right. The problem with the rough seasons is we want God to respond and to act right now. Right now. Get me out of this problem that I'm in, this season that I'm going through. And when God doesn't seem to respond immediately, we start getting depressed. We start wearing ourselves down. We start wondering if God is really going to answer us anyway. But if you have your Bibles and you want to turn, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. When we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we have a new season in our life. And that season is going to last the rest of our life. Now, seasons are made up of major seasons, like when we accept Christ as our Savior. And then there are sub-seasons that come along. It's kind of like in nature. Let me give you the example of this past winter. If someone was to ask you, what is winter? I'm from the north. I'm sorry. But if somebody had asked me, what is winter like? I would say, well, it's pretty cold. I have to wear a jacket and a hat, and especially since my hairstyle is a little wanting. But if somebody were to ask you down south, what's winter like? It wouldn't be the same thing as I would have said from coming from up north. Let's look at this last winter. I was ready. I got my winter coat out. I got some boots out. I got a toboggan out. And I was all ready for snow. Anybody else wish that it snowed this winter? Anybody love snow? Okay, I don't like snow. I had all the snow I ever needed when I was young. But winter came, and instead of snow, we had a season of what began to be like springtime rain that turned into floods. That was a weird season of rain in the winter time. But then there were some days that I got up in our winter season and I could open my blinds and the sun was shining and I could go outside with a long sleeve shirt on and not have to worry about a coat at all. It was a summer, a season of a little summer, maybe a day. Seasons have different lengths. And then eventually, the actual winter came about. I got up one day. I had turned my heat on. I had to look out the blinds, and there was snow on the ground. So the winter season was made up of smaller seasons, that some of different lengths, that we had to go through. And the same thing is true in the life of those of us who are believers. There are times of great joy. Those are the summer seasons. Times of great joy. Maybe you've gotten good news. Maybe you found out that you're going to have a baby. Okay, you still here? No? Okay. Or maybe you've gotten proposed to. That's a pretty exciting time, isn't it? That's your summer seasons of life. But there's also times when you are going through great change. Maybe it's a career change. Or you're going through a location change. You're going to have to move. And that's like a fall season. Things are changing all around you. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be ugly. There's some things about fall season that are pretty. But it's a time of unrest. Things are changing. And then there are some times of heartache and heartbreak. The loss of a family member to death. Whenever I think about the seasons of heartache, I think of the story of Job. He lost it all. He lost his family. He lost his land. He lost his servants. He lost his animals. But he kept his relationship with God. And in the end, God rewarded him for that faithfulness by doubling everything that he had lost. I want us to look for just a minute at the life of Peter tonight. When he met the Lord Jesus as on the shores of the Sea of Galilee that day, he entered into a new season of life. And I want us to look at that just for a minute. Look with me at Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20. The scripture says, "One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, 'Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people.' And they left their nets at once." How quickly did they leave their nets? At once they left their nets and followed him. Peter began that day as a fisherman. And when Jesus came and said, come, follow me, there was something within his heart that took no hesitation. He and his brother immediately turned and followed Jesus. And Peter left that day, not as a fisherman, but as a fisher of men. He began that journey. Peter not only had an occupation change, but that day he had a heart change. Look with me for a minute at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God is in the midst of creation, and he says, so God created human beings in what? Say it again. His own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. That day when Jesus came to Peter and he said, come, follow me, there was something that was inside of Peter's heart that took life. And without hesitation, he turned and immediately dropped his nets and took off to follow after Jesus. You see, I believe that when God created us in his image, that there's a seed in here somewhere. And when Jesus starts to speak to our hearts about our condition and about his provision, that seed begins to break loose and begins to take root within our hearts and begins to grow and grow and grow. Mark this down if you take notes. When Jesus speaks to your heart, a new season comes forth. When Jesus speaks to your heart, a new season comes forth. And with that season comes, number one, change. That old self that was taking up residence within our hearts has to make room for our new self that Jesus gives us. When we accept Christ as our Savior, the Scripture says the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in our hearts. And that Holy Spirit cannot share your heart with the old self. There has to be a change. There must be a change. Change takes place when Jesus comes into our hearts and we begin to live a new season of life. The Scripture calls it, we are born again. We are babes in Christ. We're to have a new mindset that originates from a new heart set. And we begin a season of Christianity. Not only must there be change that takes place when we have a new season of life as a believer, we also have a new challenge that takes place also. In Peter's life, he was challenged in three areas. Peter was challenged in his faith. Peter was challenged in his feelings, and Peter was challenged in his tradition, in his tradition. Peter is found in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. The storms have come, the waves have come up high around him, and they had a season of fear. They had a season of fear. They looked and they were worried that they were going to lose their life. And they look out on the sea and they see this form coming across the water. And at first they thought it was a ghost. And as it got closer and closer, Peter didn't know what to do. He had that fear that was growing up inside of him. Look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 24. It says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, For a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, it's not daylight here, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. They had a season of terror. And these were the disciples, the ones who were believing in Jesus. They had a season of terror. In their fear, they had a season of fear. They cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out to you walking on the water." Peter had a season of doubt. He had a season of doubt. "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out. See, Jesus doesn't hesitate in our life. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever doubted God? You ever doubted God? I have. There's been times in my life when God didn't act the way I thought he should, or in the speed that I thought he should. And I confess to you tonight, there are times in my life I had doubt. But you see, we learn something in this season of time here. As Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, what was he able to do? Walk on the water. He was able to do the impossible. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus and focused on himself and the things around him, he began to sink. Peter probably thought to himself, "Now, wait a minute. I can't do this." And guess what? He couldn't. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able. When he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. And the scripture says, he cried out, "Help me, Lord!" And Jesus reached down and took his hand and pulled him out of the water and put him back in the boat. Let me ask you this question tonight. What storm are you going through? What storm are you going through? Where's your focus? Are you focusing on the storm? Or are you focusing on the one who can get you through the storm? There's an old hymn that we don't sing anymore, but it says this: "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Peter's faith was challenged. And when his focus was on the situation rather than the Savior, he began to sink. Doubt came into his life. And in the midst of Peter's doubt, Jesus was there to reach out and pull him in. Peter's faith was challenged that day. Who was he going to keep his eyes on? Let me ask you this question that goes along with the previous question. If you're going through a time of turmoil, who is your eyes fixed on? The situation or the situation healer? You and I have to make that choice every single day. Every single day that I get out of bed, I have to choose today who I am going to rely upon. Am I going to rely upon me and my reasoning? Or am I going to rely upon Jesus? And you know what? You have to make that same choice every day also. Who are you going to trust today? Who are you going to look to for direction and resolution? When we're going through the rough times of faith, our faith is going to be challenged. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 6. In Proverbs chapter 3, 1 through 6, the scripture says, "My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this," oh, where are we supposed to store the commands? In our heart. Okay, don't forget that. "If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfied. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart." Why is it important to memorize scripture? Because when doubt comes, your faith is going to be challenged. When Jesus was challenged in the desert by the devil, what did he do with the devil to defeat him? He quoted scripture. I love Bible drills. I'm sorry that we don't. We got people in our church that are going to Bible drills that they just got through, I think. They just got through with Bible drills. That's very important because I don't always have this under my arm. And if I do, I'm not always sure where exactly to find those verses. But if I have those verses stored in my heart, I don't need this. I got his word in my heart. And so when the challenge comes, I'm able to stand and face the challenge in the full armor of God with the word of God as my sword. And folks, when Satan comes up against the word of God, he's always going to lose. He's always going to lose. You know, I'm tired of churches. I don't mean Grace Church now. I'm talking Universal Church, the big church, the big family of God. I'm tired of churches being hindered from spreading the word of God because they find things that they just can't do. Well, if they could do it themselves, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross. But we got churches that are afraid to go out of the doors. We're willing to come in on Sunday morning and worship, to sing praises and to greet one another and all that kind of thing. But the work is not here. The work is out there. And what do you do out there? Think about that minute. I don't care what I do care, but I don't at this point. I don't care what you do here. What I care about is what you do out there. What are you doing out there? Let me ask you this week. Has Jesus become part of your conversations at all? At all? You see, the only way that happens is if you purpose to make it a part of your conversation. But we're sometimes too afraid of what other people are going to think. It's time that the church needs to stop saying, "I can't," and get up and saying, "But Jesus can. But Jesus can." His faith was challenged. But Peter also had his feelings challenged as well. Jesus was sharing with the disciples about his coming death. Look at Matthew 16, verse 21 through 25. from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. Who was it that was going against Jesus? The church leaders. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter, here we are, here's our guy. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand Jesus. He began to reprimand the Son of God, saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord. There's a contradiction, isn't it? Heaven forbid, Lord, he said. This will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my followers, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. I'm going to ask you another question tonight. What is the cross that God has called you to bear? What is the cross that God has called you to bear? Now, I have to admit to you, I almost lost my temper the other day. It doesn't happen too often, but when it does, Katie barred the door. I was talking to a lady, and I'm now, please understand that what I'm going to say is not belittling this lady. I'm questioning her thinking, not what she was talking about. We were talking, and she said, I've got such bad arthritis in my knees, I can hardly get around. And now, please understand, I know, and I have problems with my knees too, that I'm not belittling the situation. I'm questioning the thinking that went with it. She says, my knees caused me so much trouble, and my hands, I got arthritis in my hands. And I said, well, I'm so sorry for that. I'd like to take time to pray for you in that situation. And she said, thank you very much. I'd like you to do that. But it just seems to be the cross I've been called to bear. That's where I had a problem. Because the arthritis, the deterioration of the bones, is a product of age. Lots of us are going to have arthritic knees and hands, other pains and other ailments. But that is a product of that. The cross that Jesus has called us to bear, in my opinion, and you can disagree with me if you would like, the cross that we are called to bear is the gospel, the spread of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever we go. Now, please don't go away from here saying that I made fun of a lady with arthritis. I did not do that. I questioned her thinking of it as a cross she has to bear. Peter was told, if you're going to come after me, take up your cross and follow me. And that cross is the spreading of the gospel message that there is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he hung on the cross in your place, in my place, and he died on that cross. He was buried in a grave that our sins might be forgiven. And on the third day he rose from the dead and he ascended back unto the Father, and he makes intercession for you and me as well. And that's the message, in my opinion, and I believe in God's opinion too, of which my opinion doesn't really matter when it's compared to his, but that's the message. That's the cross that we are to take and bear. We have to stop worrying about what people think and start doing what Jesus expects. But we can't do it cramming the gospel down their throat. How are we supposed to share that message? We share that message in L-O-V-E, in love. We share in love. Peter's feelings were challenged. But then lastly tonight, I want us to look at the fact that Peter's traditions were challenged as well. When Jesus said, I must go to Samaria, Peter got caught between a rock and a hard place, as the saying goes. Jewish people had nothing to do with Samaritans. They were a race of people that Jews and Gentiles had intermarried, which in the temple in Jerusalem made them unable to worship in that temple. And so the Samaritans built their own temple in Samaria. So they didn't have to go to Jerusalem. And a good Jew would have nothing to do with a Samaritan. Matter of fact, if they were going to the coast, they would go around Samaria to the other side. And Jesus says, I must go through Samaria. You know why he had to go? Because there was a woman at the well that he had an appointment with. The book of 2 Kings, if you ever want to read more about that situation, the book of 2 Kings talks about the history that caused the animosity between the Jews in Jerusalem and the Samaritans. Peter's humility was called into question. Look with me at John 13. Did I give you that one? John 13, verse 6 through 9. Did I give that to you? Okay. I guess I did. And there it is. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand. Now what I am doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested, you will never, ever wash my feet. And Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter exclaimed, then wash my hands, my head as well, Lord, not just my feet. Jesus was demonstrating the servant attitude that those of us who follow him should have. And Peter didn't quite understand it. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you got to have a servant's heart. There is no better than you. Jesus came to save all people who were lost. Men, women, boys, and girls. The rich, the poor, the hungry, the filled, the clean, the dirty, the haves, and the have-nots. The Bible only records one time, that Peter seemed to step into a season of failure. He went from one person that followed Jesus by his side to a person who followed Jesus from a distance. In the courtyard that day, as Jesus was being tried, the scripture tells us that Peter denied the Lord three times. John 13:36. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Did it go away?
okay.
Well, there it is. Simon Peter asked, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus said, you can't go with me now, but you will follow me later. But why can't I come now, Lord? He asked. I'm ready to die for you. See that? I'm ready to die for you. Jesus answered, die for me. Tell you the truth. Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you ever knew me. And then John 18:16. Peter had to stay behind outside the gate. And then the disciples who knew the high priest spoke to the woman watching at the gate, and she let Peter in. The woman asked Peter, You're not one of that man's disciples, are you? And what was Peter's response? No, I am not. John 18:25. Meanwhile, as Simon Peter was standing by the fire, they asked him again, you're not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it, saying, no, I am not. But one of the household slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had chopped off or cut off, asked, didn't I see you out there in the olive grove with Jesus? Again, Peter denied it, and immediately, the rooster crowed, and Peter entered into a season of shame. A season of shame. But remember, when I first started tonight, I said there's a reason for every season. We often forget that Jesus loves us enough that he loves us in our failures and our shame as well. The only disciple that was at the cross when Jesus was being crucified was who? John. Where were the rest of them? They were afraid. They were going through a season of fear. They were in an upper room with the door shut. Now Peter was faced with a choice. And it's really the same kind of choice that we are faced with each time ourselves. Was he going to use his failure to decide he wasn't worthy to follow Jesus? Or was he going to do what Jesus told them to do, go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come on the day of Pentecost? He had a choice to make. And he went to the upper room. The scripture tells us that they were in prayer in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came in and filled the room with his presence. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And who? Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached. The guy that